Welcome back to Deedon B College. Today we're tightening an Amen variation for old school rave pressure in Ableton Live 12, and this is advanced work. We're not just chopping a break for the sake of it. We're turning it into a proper DJ tool, something that can hold an intro, drive a breakdown, or slam into a drop with jungle authority without losing low-end discipline. The big idea is simple. You want the break to feel recognizably Amen-based, but tighter, more dangerous, and more intentional than the raw loop. It should punch, loop cleanly, and leave space for your bass line to do its job. That balance is everything. Start with a break that already has character. Don't try to rescue a weak source with processing. You want a break with a strong snare identity, crisp hats, and enough movement in the groove to survive editing. If the transient is already smeared, choose a better sample. That matters more than any plugin chain. Warp it carefully in Ableton Live 12 for classic break feel. Beats mode is usually the place to start when the transients are clear. Use complex only if the source is awkward or the tonal smear is causing problems. The goal is to keep the snare stable. You do not want it lurching around when the loop plays. Keep the markers clean where the rhythm actually drifts, and leave the natural swing intact as much as possible. What to listen for here? The snare should still feel like the anchor. If the hats are okay but the backbeat loses its spine, you've already gone too far. Once the break is stable, build the variation with intent, not random slicing. I like to think in three roles. First, anchor hits. The kick and snare events that define the groove. Second, motion hits. Ghosts, hats, little pickup fragments. Third, punctuation. A reverse slice, a snare tail, a tiny fill, something that signals a change. Don't use every possible cut. A strong two-bar variation might only need 6 to 10 meaningful edits. Keep the first bar closer to the original groove, then make bar 2 more noticeable. That gives the listener progression. Old-school pressure comes from controlled mutation, not constant motion. A really effective move is to keep the snare on 2 feeling solid while shifting the surrounding ghost notes. That way the break still breathes like an amen, but the second pass feels like it's leaning in a new direction. Now, the pocket. This is where the difference between edited and feels good really happens. Tiny timing changes can completely change the attitude. We're talking 5 to 20 milliseconds. That's enough. Push a snare tail slightly late if you want more weight and a lazier backbeat. Pull a pickup hat a little early if you want urgency. Keep the main kick and snare anchors close to the grid so the variation still works like a DJ tool. Don't smear the whole thing with blanket quantize. That kills the human swing that makes jungle feel alive. What to listen for here? The groove should tug against the meter without sounding sloppy. If the kicks start blurring into the snares, you've crossed from pocket into imbalance. Now make the actual variation happen. Keep one bar stable, then change one thing in the next bar. That change can be rhythmic, tonal, or textural, but don't try to do everything at once. You might remove the first kick of bar 2 to create a little void before the snare. You might repeat a ghost note as a tiny stutter. You might drop a reverse slice into the snare. You might mute a tail so the next hit feels bigger. Just keep the identity intact. If every bar turns into a different break, the DJ tool function disappears. Why this works in Deedon B is because the break has to do multiple jobs at once. It needs to create tension, keep momentum and signal arrangement movement without stepping on the bass line. That's a very Deedon B specific balancing act. You're not just making drums, you're designing pressure. Once the chop shape feels right, consolidate it. Commit to auto. This is a really important habit in Ableton. If the edit is working, print it and stop endlessly micro-tweaking slices. The more you commit, the more you start hearing arrangement instead of individual cuts. Then harden the break with stock Ableton processing, but keep it controlled. A simple chain like EQ8, drum bus, and saturator can do a lot. High pass gently around 30 to 40 Hz to clear useless rumble. If the break is crowding the bass, trim a muddy zone somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz by a couple of dB. Then use drum bus with restraint, just enough to thicken the snare and glue the hats. Finish with saturator and soft clip to bring out density without turning the top end into fizzy noise. You can also use auto filter, glue compressor, and saturator. That chain is great if you want a slightly darker pre-drop feel or a little more movement in the transition. Keep the compression gentle. We want transient preserving control, not brick wall flattening. A key point here, the amen has to fight the bass, not float above it. Controlled saturation helps the snare crack through a dense sub and res. Light compression keeps the break from collapsing when the drop arrives. That's why this works in Deedon B. It stays aggressive without losing definition. Now deal with the low end of the break. A lot of breaks carry low room tone, kick body, or junk that sounds exciting on its own but clutters the actual mix. Decide whether you want to keep that for grit or trim it for space. In modern DNB, especially if the bass line is heavy, you usually want the useful zone to be the snare crack, the hats, and a bit of chest around 150 to 250 HE. You do not need all the mud underneath. Keep the real energy of the break effectively mono, especially the kick and snare. If the variation loses authority when you collapse it mentally to mono, the pressure is fake. Width can live in the top texture, but the impact has to stay centered. Now here's a smart advanced move. Resample the variation once it's working. Print a second pass with slightly more saturation or darker filter movement and layer it quietly underneath the main break. That extra layer is for menace, not obvious presence. It should feel like the break got bigger, not like a second loop is competing for attention. Keep that layer disciplined. Darker cutoff, a bit more edge, maybe a tiny bit of ambience only if it helps the transition. Then leave it alone. Don't overbuild it. At this point, drop the variation into arrangement context. Put it against the bass line and at least one musical element. A great test is to place it two bars before a drop or as a four-bar turnaround in the middle of a roller. Then listen to the whole picture. If the bass and the break are fighting in the same rhythmic zone, remove something. This is a very practical lesson. The variation should create motion and tension, not clutter. If the bass is active around the same space as the snare ghosts, simplify the break. If the variation feels too plain, add one punctuation event rather than stuffing more hits into every bar. What to listen for here? Can you still hear the snare as the anchor when the bass is playing? If the break only sounds good solid, it's probably too busy for actual DNB arrangement use. Automation should stay subtle. Open a filter over a couple of bars if you want lift. Dip the break by a dB or two before a key snare if you want that hit to feel larger. Send a tiny reverse texture or room burst at the phrase end if you need a little lift. But avoid big EDM-style sweeps unless you're deliberately going for a fake-out. In jungle and old-school DNB, restraint often sounds more authoritative than obvious effects. A really good habit is to keep three working versions while you build. One close to the source loop. One performance version with the strongest edits. One stripped version for moments where the bass needs more room. That gives you arrangement flexibility without restarting every time the track changes energy. And for darker, heavier DNB, remember this. Sometimes the smartest move is subtraction. One missing ghost hit can hit harder than another layer of editing. Leave space before the snare and the impact gets bigger. That's old school pressure in action. So if you want a clean way to think about the whole process, think like this. Keep the snare identity, shape the pocket with tiny timing moves, introduce one clear mutation per phrase, trim the mud, and let the bass line breathe. The break should feel tight, nasty, and mixable. It should be something a DJ could loop and ride, not just a one-off fill. A final quality check. Mute the bass and listen to the variation on its own. Does it still read as the same break? Good. Now put the bass back in. Does the snare still cut through? Even better. If it works in both situations, you're in the safe zone. If it only impresses solo, it probably needs less decoration and more purpose. For your practice, I want you to build one two-bar Amen variation with only one break source, no more than 8-slice edits, and only stock Ableton devices. Keep one bar close to the original groove and let the second bar evolve. Then consolidate it, print it, and test it with your actual bass line underneath. If you want to push further, build two versions from the same source. One looser and more old school, one tighter and darker. Keep the core snare identity the same. Bounce them out, label them clearly, and see which one survives best in the arrangement. That's the real test. Tighten the Amen. Keep the pressure. Let the snare lead, let the bass breathe, and let the variation do its job like a proper jungle tool. That's how you get old school rave energy with modern DNB control.